Amen.
Today is the third Sunday of Easter. We get another resurrection appearance of Jesus, which is appropriate. And so during the week of Easter, we get these successive appearances. But to put this in context for you, I just want you to understand what's happening in the scriptures. So we're in Luke chapter 24. So here's what has occurred. This reading that we Tony just read, Father Tony just read the reading, actually occurred on Easter evening. So we're a couple weeks out from this year, but let's back up for a minute, alright? So in the context of the chapter in Luke, this is the evening of Easter. Jesus appeared to his disciples. So here's what's taking place. Easter morning, the beginning of Luke chapter 24, the women go to the tomb. They find the tomb empty. They tell the disciples. Peter runs to the tomb where he sees the burial shroud and the empty tomb. Then we have the account in Luke 24 of the road to Emmaus. Most people know that story. You have two disciples who are walking. Jesus explains to them the scripture, how the scriptures speak of himself, and they are made known to him, or he is made known to their rather, in the breaking of the bread. These disciples then go and tell the apostles who are gathered together, and at that time, in the evening of Easter day, Jesus comes and appears to the disciples. So you're all caught up. That's where we're at. And so lots of good stuff happening in this chapter. And I just want to reflect on a few key points that are pointed out from this reading. The first one is this idea of them being witnesses. In Luke 24:36, it says, Jesus himself stood among them. So they're gathered together, and then Jesus comes and is in the midst of them. And he does a few things here. He says, do not be afraid. I'm not a ghost. Touch my hands. Touch my feet. Right? I have flesh. I'm still the same guy. I'm not simply an appearance. I'm not simply a ghost. This is important to the veracity of the resurrection story. Luke is making a point, and in the context of this story, Jesus is making a point. I am not simply appearing to you as someone dead, but I am alive again. Those are two very different things. The appearance, or having a vision, or seeing somebody who has died, not that unusual, but people can make that claim. It's a much different matter when somebody comes and stands before you and say, touch the wings in my hands and my feet, see that I'm flesh, I am the same person, I am risen from the dead. And then to take the point a step further, he gathers fish, he eats with them, right? Because ghosts certainly do not eat and consume food. So a point is being made here about what it is that the apostles are witnessing. Okay? That they are physically able to touch and interact and engage with Jesus. This is an important part of the story. And then later on in the reading, in Luke 24:48, Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things. This is important, right? And later when they have to replace Judas, right? That one of the criteria is that the one who is chosen has been a witness of what has taken place, right? So to be an apostle, you're a witness of the reality of the risen Christ. Another example of that is St. Paul, who becomes an apostle later, and we say, well, he wasn't involved in the early ministry of Jesus, but how did Paul become a disciple? You guys remember? Good job. He was traveling, and he had a vision of Christ. Christ appeared to him, spoke to him. There was a great painting of him falling from his horse. And so he is a witness. He sees and experiences the risen Christ. So I just want you to understand that is the criteria that Jesus sets here. And he says to them, you see my hands, you see my feet, now you gotta be witnesses. Now, as I sometimes do, nobody on this side of the room is allowed to answer this question. So the word for witnesses in the context here is the Greek word. Anybody have to know what that word is? I didn't read the Greek this morning. Okay. The word is the word that I hope you recognize. The New Testament word for witnesses is martyria. A martyr. A martyr is a witness. So when we talk about those who have died as martyrs, those who have died for the faith, they died as a witness to the truth of Jesus Christ, the beauty. Right? So that's what the word means. So when Jesus says, you will be witnesses of these things, what he literally says, again, as recorded in Greek, is martyria, or martyr of these things. That's important, of course, because what happens to the disciples? They're martyrs. They get killed. And just to remind you, I'll give a little rundown here. Peter was crucified upside down. St. Andrew was crucified on a cross in the shape of an X. James was first stoned and then struck down by a sword. Bartholomew was crucified and beheaded. Philip was crucified. Thomas was speared. James was crucified. Jude was crucified and was speared. And Simon was crucified. Later, Matthias would be added to the number of the apostles to replace Judas. He was stoned to death. St. Paul, who would become an apostle, was beheaded. So, that word martyr is very important to the lives of these men. They lived out the reality of that living. So from the time of the resurrection of Christ, they spend the rest of their lives preaching throughout the world. They scatter throughout the world preaching the message of the gospel and the resurrection of Christ. And indeed, they will be witnesses even unto death and give their lives. So this is important. What they see on this day, what they experience, seeing Jesus in the flesh, touching his wounds, changes the course of their entire lives. And they become witnesses from that point forward, even unto death. And so, this is just a reminder to us that we are also called to be witnesses of Christ. And you know, it's funny, when I started out in the Church of Christ, and I started out in the ministry, we talk about being witnesses all the time. Did you witness anybody about Jesus today? Right? The world is going to be a witness, and that's a good and noble thing. But you know what we did talk about? Martyrs. We're talking about that. And so, I want you to understand, we are all called to be witnesses, and in one sense, we're all called to be martyrs. And what that means for us is that we must be prepared to deny life itself before we deny Jesus Christ. And if you know church history, you understand how relevant that is. And how often that has occurred, that age after age, in every place, people have been given the choice to deny Christ or to be a witness to him, even unto death. And you know what they chose? Martyr. They witness to him unto death. So when Jesus says you are witnesses of these things, that's what we're called to be as well. The next thing we see in our gospel passage today, in Luke 24:45, it says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, sometimes, what I love about the apostles, especially I love Peter, he's always getting himself into trouble, right? He's brash, he's quick, he makes quick decisions, you know, he spends years with Jesus to preach and peace, and they come to get Jesus what to do, he cuts them a deal, right? I mean, Peter's just always all over the place. But all of the apostles, you sometimes wonder, when you read the gospel narrative, how they don't get it. Like Jesus says things to them plainly, this is what's going to happen, and they get it. And so Jesus tells them that he will be betrayed, given into the hands of sinners, that he will be killed, and on the third day he'll rise again. And they go, okay, Jesus, that's kind of weird. And then it happens, and they're totally confused. And so, you know, Jesus' ministry, Mary, remember how long Jesus' earthly ministry was? Approximately 3 years. Good. Anybody know how long the seminary usually is?
3 years.
The apostles spent 3 years in seminary with the greatest professor of all time, and they still don't understand the scriptures. It's amazing. And so after Jesus is raised, he explains to them the scriptures. He tells them what will happen. Now, I want to say something important. But I need you to stick with me. I love the Bible. I love it. And one of the greatest gifts that the Church of Christ gave me was love for the Bible. I read the Bible every day. I listen to the Bible every day. It's a gift. But we must always understand that we must approach the Bible with humility and that we are not over the Bible. Understanding the scriptures is a gift that is given to us by God. So when you look at the apostles, you have Peter, who was commissioned as a teacher of the faithful by Jesus. You have John, who had the scriptures revealed to him even by angels in Revelation and otherwise. You have Paul, who says he's caught up to the third heaven and has vision and experience and soul and things. Right? He's never inspired by God to understand the scripture, not only, but also to write scripture in the New Testament Revelation. And we have in the church, church fathers and teachers who have bestowed on us an understanding of the scripture. And one of the greatest mistakes that we make, and we've made of all time, is this idea that I can pick up my Bible and understand it better than anybody that ever came before me. That is pride, and arrogance, and it's incorrect, and these are all forms of error, and 10,000 of denominations. So what I want to understand is that when Jesus opens the mind of the apostle, he gives them a gift. And that our understanding of the scriptures comes first and foremost as a gift to us from God and the Holy Spirit, and then secondly, and importantly, through the church. One of my favorite teachers, church father, is St. Gregory the Great. Anybody? Who can tell me about him? Anybody know who helped St. Gregory the Great? Who was it? So he was a pope. He was a bishop of Rome in the 600s. Okay? Hugely important. Right? Anybody ever hear of Gregorian chant? Named after that. Okay? He's important. And so he established a lot of liturgical things in the church, but he was famous for some of his theology. And one of my favorite paintings or pictures of him has him sitting there, and on his shoulder is a dove. Who's the dove? The Holy Spirit, right? Indicating he's inspired to understand and teach the Word of God, right? And I just love that image. And so the point I want you to understand is that Jesus gives the apostles these gifts, which we receive. Right? He gives them the scripture, and that we must pray God that we will be able to understand the scripture that Christ revealed to them. And that is something that we must seek and desire from God. It's not something that we can produce and just have. And a lot of people approach the Bible today with the assumption that they can just clear what it means. That's a fundamental error. We must be humble before the scriptures. We must seek to understand and pray God who will reveal to us the understanding of the scriptures. Now, this is important because he reveals to them the scriptures so that they can do what? What do they do with that information?
Go forth and
preach. And they're allowed to preach, right? There's a great New Testament word, charisma. Somebody say charisma. This means proclamation. That's the word used in the New Testament for the proclamation of the apostles' teaching. They go out, they proclaim the word of Christ. They proclaim the resurrection to the world. It's a fun word, it's not a joy. And so, we must do the same. But does anybody know what the word apostle means? Apostolos. I just plan on somebody to read today. Sorry, but it's relevant to the scripture. Quote, good. Apostolos means messenger, right? So they because they were students and they received the message from Christ, then he sends them out. We heard the reading a couple of weeks ago, the Father sent me, so I send you. That's what an apostle means, one who is sent. So because they received a gift of understanding the scripture, God sends them out as an apostle. We must pray for the same, right? If we would understand the word of God, we would receive the gift of the sermon of the word of God so that we could then go out and be sent forth as an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ. Third thing I wanted to reflect on today is Jesus said something in Luke 24:49. He says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." What's Jesus talking about?
Pentecost.
Good job. The coming of the Holy Spirit, right? So 50 days after Easter, we will have Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is poured out. And Jesus said they would receive power from on high. What did the Holy Spirit give to the apostles? Any idea?
Gave them the gift of
speaking in tongues. Gave them the gift of speaking in tongues, ready to preach the gospel to all nations? What else?
When you say that, when you say your faith, that they forgive them and receive that.
Amen. He gave them the power of the sacraments, right? And you create it. Penance, forgiveness of sins. He said, if you forgive me when sins are forgiven, if you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld. Because they have the Holy Spirit, they have that power. What else? Guess who did it? I wrote down a couple of things that the Holy Spirit did to them. One, the apostles, through the power of the Holy Spirit, established the church of Christ throughout the entire world. Pretty important, right? They wrote scripture under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. They established the mass itself, and they were able to perform the sacraments of the church. They were able to preach to the whole world in power and convert many to Christ. They were able to pass on the priesthood of the church to generation after generation. And finally, again, they were able to empower the Holy Spirit to die as martyrs, as witnesses of Christ. So this promise of power from the Holy Spirit that occurs on the very evening of Easter is hugely important. Jesus said, "I'm going to give you this promise from the Father." And that promise is what enables them to execute their mission as apostles. We must also ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to do those things which God has called us to do, to understand the scriptures, to live out our faith, enabling them to die as martyrs. None of those things can be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we are called to be, like the apostles, witnesses of the resurrection, martyrs. We are called to understand the scripture that is preached by the apostles and proclaim it as apostles ourselves in the world. And we are called to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to execute our faith and live faithfully to Jesus Christ. Lots of things come up in this reading from Easter evening. And it all comes from the idea that the apostles were themselves witnesses of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the message of the church, that Christ has defeated death. Because Christ has defeated death, we too have hope to share his life. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.